Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch. With Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Cup is down to its final matches, and DraftKings has you covered for every single one. The DraftKings app is now available in all 50 states, so whether it's a shootout, a penalty kick, or just a regular time decision, it all happens at DraftKings. The markets are bringing the game straight to your fingertips. Wherever you are, it's DraftKings. Get the Cup going. And for new DraftKings customers, sign up with my code KSR. Spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's the code KSR in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get $50 in predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 21 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends July 19th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Just because you've exited through the door of a haunted building doesn't mean you're free from ghosts. In fact, stories of haunted woods, streets, paths, or you name it, outdoor areas are just as familiar as haunted homes or businesses. Outdoor hauntings can sometimes be even more confusing, as the ghosts that make appearances are not always in the form of a living being. Some of the most intriguing haunt stories we've heard revolve around physical structures appearing and disappearing where they once stood. Large buildings, seen clear as any other building by the living, vanish within minutes. Are these illusions caused by some factors of nature we are unaware of? Or is there a consciousness on the other side reminding us of our physical environments from times past? Either way, it seems no matter where you go, you'll never be too far from ghosts of some sort. From the shadows came a man. It's hard not to smile when thinking back to our younger days of venturing out to explore a haunted area without a care. We were on a mission for adventure. The prospect of seeing something paranormal crossed our minds, but this possibility seemed almost as likely as being stopped at a railroad crossing for a man in a sleigh pulled by flying reindeer. Many of us who went out searching for ghosts probably felt the same way. We desperately wanted to experience something, but kept calm knowing that it was not going to be likely. The most any of us ever experienced was a jackass friend sneaking up from behind some bushes when no one was paying attention. That's not the case in this next story about friends out for a night of fright as they came upon an abandoned building near a cemetery, the perfect setting for a ghost story, right? They learned very quickly that an innocent adventure could turn into a life-changing experience. It made them question everything they had come to believe and understand about the relationship between the existence of the living and the dead. The story has not made us stop seeking out abandoned places and documenting their beauty on film, but it's made us more cautious about the shadows we see. It's forced us to think twice about whether that shadow in the corner could be there, to evaluate the depths of darkness as shadows give off. It may make you feel the same. Here's a chilling experience from Sean. I live in a rural area of Illinois, an area nestled in the armpit between Chicago and Rockford. Listening to your show has brought back many memories of unexplained occurrences that I'd like to share with you. Today, I'd like to tell you about my ventures down a mysterious and ominously named road in my area. The names of the people involved in this story have been changed. Perhaps I should start with a brief rundown of this local legend. It's said that the road is haunted by a phantom truck that will appear out of nowhere and chase you out of the area. In the middle of the 6-mile stretch, there's a bridge over railroad tracks where a school bus accident supposedly occurred many years ago. Midnight thrill seekers will stop their car, shift into neutral, and be pushed to safety by the spirits of the children lost in the horrific crash. Many other stories have been reported in the general area. Ghostly apparitions wander the cemetery to the east, ominous lights dart around the woods to the west, and a witch growls and prowls everywhere in between. Strange figures appear alongside the road or within the cornfields. Some say they're victims of a brutal family murder, which the road has received its eerie name from. This last tale, among many things, is false. In the 1930s, a man with a particularly creepy last name allegedly came to the area and called his settlement by that name. That's it. Nothing spooky to it. And there's more burst for that bubble. There's absolutely no record of any school bus accident that took place on that bridge or anywhere on the road, for that matter. I can tell you from firsthand experience that the only thing haunting that bridge is gravity, seeing as it is on an incline. As for the phantom truck, it is well known that the locals hate thrill seekers and ghost hunters visiting an otherwise peaceful countryside, sometimes to the point of chasing the interlopers back to their towns from whence they came. On the way to the cemetery is a message spray-painted onto the pavement to be read like the opening to a Star Wars film. No ghosts, no Santa, grow up, go home. Experienced ghost hunters have little luck gathering evidence and attribute the stories to mere urban legend. So is this place even haunted? As the saying goes, truth is stranger than fiction, and in this case, much more terrifying. It was Halloween of 2004. I was 16 years old, and my trick-or-treating years were behind me. There were four of us, Todd, Chris, Greg, and me. With Iron Maiden's Fear of the Dark blaring from the speakers, we embarked on a quest to find this unhallowed road. We missed our first turn because none of the signs bear the name of the road. Instead, they're cryptically labeled with initials to deter vandals from stealing signs with the ominous name spelled out in full. Our first destination was the bridge, which was underwhelming to say the least. We continued west to the haunted woods and concluded that the ghostly lights of legend actually came from the car factory off in the distance, obscured by the trees. We turned around and headed for the cemetery. We figured if any ghosts were roaming the area, the cemetery would be our best bet. We pulled off to the side of the road and approached the locked gate. For the first time that night, we felt uneasy, as if the fence wasn't the only barrier keeping us out. A single light post barely illuminated the black void surrounding it, its dreary orange light emanating a shrill hum. Todd was trembling and considered staying in the car. Chris, who had been sarcastically taunting the ghosts all night, changed his tone as soon as we arrived. Greg and I were as stoic as ever, but concurred that there was an undeniable sense of dread emanating from this place, and we were most certainly not welcome. So we did the reasonable thing and went home. The end. Just kidding. We totally hopped the fence. Before I continue, I want to make it very clear that what we did was wrong. Although we were not using drugs or alcohol, vandalizing or committing any other sort of destructive delinquency, trespassing is not only disrespectful, but it's also very dangerous, and I do not condone it. We were a bunch of teenage knuckleheads who knew better but did not give a fuck. If any readers are considering visiting this place or any location not open to the public, consider this a cautionary tale. Now, on to the story. The cemetery was smaller than I initially imagined and in complete disarray. The chain-link fence was sliced open and pulled back, gravestones were knocked over, spray-painted, some perhaps even stolen. The monuments that were still standing, though, were fascinating, to say the least. Some of them were towering obelisks or pillars. One was shaped like a giant open book on an altar, listing all the family members buried in the plot beneath. Another was shaped like a trunk of a tree, a very unsettling sight, especially in the middle of the night. The older graves were on the west end. Most of the markers were ineligible, and a couple had an odd dip in the soil in front of them, a clear sign of a casket that had, over the years, caved in. We explored peacefully and quietly until we came across what seemed to be a tool shed. It was slightly tucked away from the property, surrounded by trees and vines and just out of sight from the light. Chris took one look and exclaimed, "Nope," before walking away to sit under a tree. Todd followed him. Greg and I shrugged and headed inside with a cigarette lighter to guide us in the dark. I guess a flashlight from home would have made too much sense. Beyond the sliding wooden door, which was barely hanging onto its rustling rail, was an empty room with cinder block walls and a dirt floor that was littered with dead flowers, broken wood planks, and beer cans. I think one of them was a Schlitz, to give you an idea of how long this place had been run down. I spotted a strange shape on the east wall. I assumed it was a water stain from a roof leak since it reached the ceiling. Strangely enough, it was vaguely shaped like an 8-foot-tall human with a skeletal head and a slender neck upon shoulders without arms and seemingly draped with a long cloak. "Dude, do you see that?" I whispered to Greg. "Yeah," he replied. "We gotta show Todd and Chris." Soon as he made the suggestion, a brilliantly evil plan came to mind. Once the other guys made it in, I would shine the light on the wall, point at the shape, and exclaim, "Holy shit, oh my god, what the fuck?" and run out, stranding them in the dark. Greg nodded in agreement, and we exited, stumbling over a thorn bush. "Guys, come over here, you gotta see this," I whisper yelled. Chris shook his head and didn't budge. Todd approached, asking, "What is it? Just tell me." I didn't answer. I just led the way, trying not to crack a smile. Gosh, what a jerk I was. Stepping over the brush and squeezing through the door, we entered the shed. Todd grabbed my coat and clung to me like a baby possum. Slowly dragging our feet through the dirt, we approached the wall. I took a deep breath, flicked my lighter, and "Duh," was all I could utter. I stared blankly at the wall as the wall blankly stared back. The shape was gone. Todd, with a crack in his voice, whimpered, "You see it too?" I turned to look at Todd, and Todd was looking at the north wall. I turned to look at the north wall, and there it was, only this time it wasn't on the wall. It was standing about a foot away from it, looming over us. Even to this day, it is nearly impossible to describe it. It was solid black, yet translucent at the same time, and completely impossible to focus on. As if it was weaving in and out of existence at a rate I couldn't fathom. My delayed response to Todd was, "Yep." He squealed and scampered out, stranding me with the being I'd only heard of at this point, a shadow man. Suffice to say, the prank backfired. Wanting to run away but not wanting to turn my back on the entity, I awkwardly sidestepped my way through the door like an Irish folk dancer, tripping over the bush I told myself not to trip over. At a glance, I saw Todd diving behind the tree where Greg and Chris were waiting. I sprinted after them and we huddled together. Todd and I struggled to catch our breath while Greg and Chris frantically inquired about what happened. "Shh," I said sternly. Our eyes shifted to each other. Well, slow, heavy footsteps emerged from the shed and onto the thorn bush with a distinct crackle. We peeked around the tree and back at the shed, but it was engulfed in shadows. The thunderous footsteps approached slowly but with long strides. We bolted straight for Chris's car and drove off before all the doors were even shut. I turned to look through the rear windshield. There, in the middle of the road, against the dim light of the lone lamppost, stood the shape from the shed, blacker than the night surrounding it. The four of us went home with one hell of a story to tell. We told our friends, and our friends told their friends, and soon enough, traveling down this road became a dare among my peers. One classmate claimed to see a shadow figure step out of the cornfield and onto the road, causing her to swerve out of the way, nearly spinning out. Her description of the figure matched my encounter unequivocally. Another classmate who had absolutely no interest in the paranormal was merely driving through the area one night. His car stalled and shut off after driving through what he described was a black cloud. The most troubling account came from an acquaintance who claimed to see a dark mass huddled in the ditch that then pounced and chased after his Jeep. Between two glances through his rearview mirror, he said it went from running like a large dog to running like a tall man with the hind legs of a beast. I wasn't sure what to make of his claim since this sounded less like a ghost and more like a demon, which I was not sure I believed at that time. Fact or fiction, the plethora of new stories surrounding this place excited me, yet perturbed me at the same time. I returned periodically over the next few years. Most nights were uneventful. Other nights would feel weird, but without incident. My thoughts on this haunting would fluctuate with every visit. Was it a ghost? Was it a demon? Was it even real? I became obsessed with finding answers. In April of 2005, Greg and I returned with a voice recorder. Standing by the tree-shaped monument, I asked if anyone would like to speak. What we heard immediately afterward nearly caused us to soil our britches. Bah! A member of the livestock community nearby had alarmed us. Obviously, this was not paranormal, just a funny occurrence. I wanted to share. Like Tony said in EPP episode 77, sometimes it's just a goat. Then in May of 2007, I was joined by my sister Marilyn and a couple of her friends. We decided not to enter and just to hang out by the gate and look around. While scanning the yard, towering monuments, in one particular area, something caught my attention. It stood all the way in the back, roughly 8 feet tall. It was dark and seemed to be shaped like a column with an urn sculpture on top of it. I couldn't keep my eyes off of it. Not even the chatting and giggling from the group could break my gaze. Something about it felt otherworldly and strangely familiar, like I'd seen it before, but somewhere else. My mind briefly entertained the thought that it almost looked like the shape I saw in the shed. That's when it began to move. It briskly traveled along the back fence before losing its form and vanishing altogether. Stunned, I asked if anyone else had seen it, but everyone else had their attention elsewhere. Soon afterward, the smell of sulfur filled the air, and we took that as our cue to leave. The same figure appeared on an otherwise uneventful night in June. We were making a U-turn at the end of the road by the cemetery. As the car's headlights shone over a field, we spotted a tall, dark figure standing roughly 100 yards out. To make sure it wasn't a tree or some other trick of the eyes, we turned the car back around to look for it. This time, the figure was nowhere to be seen. Years later, my brother-in-law recounted a similar experience he had on the same road. He had not heard my story at that time. Following August, I returned with a couple of friends. I'll call Sean and Nancy. Sean brought a fancy digital camera in hopes of capturing an image of the apparition that I told him about. He snapped a few photos around the graveyard before plunging into the shed. He pointed the camera at the wall after asking the entity to show itself. As the camera flashed, a rumbling growl filled the room. My first thought was maybe it was an animal. Sean's first thought was to get the hell out of there. Whether or not it was an animal, that should have been my first thought too. Whatever it was not a goat. Once we settled in Nancy's car and took off, I asked Sean to show me the pictures that he just took. Taking his eyes off the camera's LCD screen, he looked at me with bulging eyes and slowly turned the camera around. What I saw still baffles me to this day. Sure enough, the camera picked up a tall, amorphous figure standing before us. Only it was white and wispy instead of dark. Talk about an unexplained phenomena. About an unexplainable phenomenon. We spent the drive home discussing our evidence. Could what appears as a shadow person to the naked eye possibly appear lighter on camera? Was a flash a factor? Did the camera merely detect some sort of abnormal infrared light, as digital cameras often do? Was this an illusion like that damn dress? You know, the one that was blue and black or white and gold. Sadly, the photo did not survive. Upon transferring the images to his hard drive, his computer deemed the memory card corrupted and its contents were lost forever. In July of 2008, the road came up in a conversation between Bud, Lou, my other sister Olivia, her boyfriend Ricky, and me. Ricky, who was new to the group, and the area for that matter, had never been there. After hyping up the legend and sharing our experiences, we piled into Lou's Explorer and went for a drive. I made sure to grab a disposable camera on the way out. I wanted to capture this bastard on film if I couldn't do it digitally. Once we reached the cemetery, the same unwelcoming feeling overwhelmed us. Ricky and Olivia had no interest in entering the shed, while Bud and Lou jeered at them. I gave them a reassuring nod as if to say they didn't have to if they didn't want to. Too bad I didn't follow my own advice. Bud, Lou, and I lined up to enter the tool shed. Bud pulled the door open as I snapped a photo. Lou jumped, screaming, "Fuck that," and ran back to Olivia and Ricky to tell them he saw something dark in the doorway. Undaunted, I stepped inside. You know the feeling you get when you touch the screen of an old ray tube television set? That prickly sensation of static electricity? Imagine that combined with a sense of walking through spider webs. And I don't mean simply walking into spider webs, I mean through them, with every strand brushing and clinging against your every core instead of your skin. That's the best way I can describe what I felt as I passed the threshold. Unnerved, I turned around expecting to see Bud following behind me. I saw nothing. Apparently, he panicked and joined the others without mention. Abandoned once again, I felt a dark presence filling the room. My heart was pounding and I gasped for air as chills ran down my neck. My legs began to quiver and my eyesight became fuzzy. I wasn't sure if I was going to pass out or throw up. Terrified beyond capacity of rational thought, I shambled out of the shed and made a beeline for the truck, wasting no time to join the others. I felt utterly drained and I yearned for the safety of the comfort of home. But the terror was far from over. That night, I had a peculiar dream. I was walking through a forest on a lovely summer day, and I found myself entering a clearing. Throughout the glade were picnic tables, seated by various friends and family members. In retrospect, I realized what that all had in common. Each of them had been on the road with me. They were all lively, chatting and laughing amongst themselves. Overjoyed, I began to approach this unexpected jamboree. Suddenly, time froze still. Red clouds swallowed the blue sky. The leaves of the trees withered and the grass curled and turned gray. One by one, every person began to burn like a cigarette, and their ashes floated towards the sky like snowflakes going backwards in time. I stood aghast in horror, watching this hellish world evolve around me. In the center of the clearing, coils of black smoke slithered out of the ground and materialized into the dark figure I had become all too familiar with. Without eyes, he glared at me. Without a voice, he spoke to me. Through sheer thought, he proclaimed himself a force not to be fucked with. By this point, I was well aware that this was a dream, but I knew that turning my back and running away would not bode well. So I stood my ground, trying to force myself to wake up. With a howl that sounded like an avalanche, he lunged towards me. What felt like a jolt of electricity ran through every nerve within me, and I awoke to the absolute worst case of sleep paralysis I have ever had. The worst part about it wasn't the inability to move. The inability to scream or even the excruciating pain I felt as I struggled to regain control. Now, it wasn't the dark figure towering over my helpless body. His head crept closer and closer towards my face, and I was completely helpless to look away. He came so close that the darkness that embodied him engulfed my vision, and a grotesque face emerged. It was a putrefied human skull with a snarling muzzle of a bulldog. Its skin was shriveled and blackened with decay, oozing with blood and pulsating with maggots crawling underneath. The maggots dropped out of its empty eye sockets and gaping mouth and crawled all over my helpless body. The entire time this was happening, he was laughing an inhuman cackle that sounded like falling boulders. This went on long enough for me to contemplate that perhaps I had died and that this was hell. Another thought that was not my own thundered within my head, "Never come back." The face disappeared and I could finally see my bedroom from the glow of the red digital alarm clock. The time was 3:33 a.m. As terrified as I was when I came to, I shrugged it off. It's merely a dream. I've had sleep paralysis in the past 5 times in my life thus far, including that occasion. I never attributed it to anything paranormal, despite how unsettling such an experience can be. I've also taken supernatural happenings during sleeping hours with a grain of salt. A mind is a mysterious machine, especially when it comes to dreams. Alas, no amount of skepticism could have prepared me for what Olivia told me later that day. She, too, had dreamt that she was attacked by a tall, dark figure, just like the one I had described to her all of those years past. She didn't have sleep paralysis, but she remembers waking up at around 3 a.m. that night. I called Bud to ask if he had nightmares as well, but he didn't. In fact, he didn't sleep at all that night. He said he was too busy hiding from a shadowy figure lurking outside of his window until 3 a.m. or so. It became apparent to us that this entity followed us home that night and tormented us by disturbing the sacred resting place. As a repeated offender of kicking the spiritual wasp's nest, so to speak, my punishment was more severe. Forever shaken by that nightmare, I vowed never to return after that night. As for the disposable camera, all the photos failed to develop. For most people, this would be the end of the story, but I am not most people. Don't try this at home, kids. I began seeking answers in demonology. Though I was well-versed in the paranormal before this time, I had always thought demonology was too outdated and dogmatic for something so beyond our understanding. I assume most of our knowledge on demons was a product of primeval zealots and Hollywood. It took some suspension of disbelief on my part to even consider researching such arcane lore. In my studies, I came across the name of a particular demon that resonated with me. I'll not dare share its name, but I will say it is in fact featured in the Lesser Key of Solomon. And strangely enough, it phonetically coincides with a county that the road is located in. A Grand Duke of Hell, with the heads of man, a dog, and a griffin, commanding 30 legions at his disposal. His specialty is, get this, the marshalship of hauntings in tombs and cemeteries. Abashed, I felt like my personal ghost story was turning into a Dungeons and Dragons campaign. I consulted with some friends who are also occult enthusiasts. Their interpretation was that this was a minion of the demon, a member of the 30 legions to carry its bidding. This makes sense because, well, there are quite a lot of cemeteries in the world. The three heads represents the forms these spirits can choose to manifest into. Since this was a township cemetery that was never affiliated with the church, it may have been vulnerable to a demonic infestation. Such beings are said to inhabit cemeteries prone to desecration. With the onslaught of interlopers seeking scares throughout the years, the entity could thrive and sustain itself by feeding on their fear. This makes me wonder what else could be lurking in the midst of other famous legends and paranormal hotspots across the globe. True to my word, I have never been back to that cemetery. From what I understand, the tool shed has since been demolished. A local paranormal group has undertaken a restoration project, and police are on constant patrol in the area. For years, I haven't heard of any new ghost stories from the road until just recently. A friend of a friend claims to have lost a cell phone in the cemetery. Upon calling her lost phone in an attempt to locate it, she received a hello from her own voice on the other line. Since this is not my story, I cannot claim it to be true, nor do I wish to inquire any further. The combined vigilance of the locals, the police, and the dark entity no longer make it worth investigating. Was I foolish for perpetually seeking answers in my youth? Oh, definitely. But these experiences have equipped me with the mental tools and knowledge that have served me well during some of my other experiences, which I will be sharing with you very, very soon. Until then, thank you, Tony and Jenny, for the show, and thank you, fellow listeners, for sharing your stories as well.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane, Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Cabin crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch with Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Dom. Minos.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings, 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play. Only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.